We're into Galatians 3. But before we read the passage tonight, I just want to share a little story with you. I don't know how many of you, well, I think most of you probably know me. I'm Hamish, by the way. And along with my wife, Rachel, we lead a youth team here at Plymouth Christian Centre. But I also have three children. And one of them got married last year. And they bought a house. And the house he bought is a lovely little house and has great potential. Okay, I think they like to call it a doer-upper. Okay, so it was, yes, interesting because we are not a practical family. I'm certainly not a practical family. And for those who were here last night, we heard about Dave Beresford and his brother Phil pointed out that Dave Beresford is not the most practical of people when it came to woodwork. And it was quite interesting to hear that because I always thought I wasn't a practical person, but it gave me confidence. Anyway, Seth's house, it's not for the faint-hearted is all I can say. Bless people who've come along, Seth, and helped him. And bless him because he's been so willing to learn. He's read about it. He's read what he needs to do. He's spoken to people. He's watched countless YouTube videos. So in theory, he knows what to do. But actually, that's in theory. When it comes to in practice, it's not quite the same. For anyone who's done any DIY, you can look at something and think, oh yes, that looks very easy to put that shelf up, but it's not always quite as straightforward. And, well, with perseverance and help and continued reminders and reinforcement, he is slowly learning. And this story I'll start with, it's made me think about my own life, and I think all of us are very similar to this. Especially when we read the Bible. We can read it and we can think we know what it says and we can think we've even learnt it. But sometimes we need to be doing it and we need to be saying it for it to really work out in our lives. And I think if I'm correct, this is a sort of kinesthetic learning, a sort of active learning and putting it into practice. I was going to ask Anna, but I won't put her on the spot in case she says, no, I've got it wrong. She said she would have a quiet word with me afterwards. So, but as we come to look in Galatians today, we're going to try something slightly different to get you to participate. So it's not just me saying something and you're listening. It's about you having to think and do some things as well. But before that, let's hear from one of our young people, Abby. She's going to read from Galatians chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, turn to it. It's Galatians 3, verse 23. There are some Bibles on the window ledge like this, and it is page 1170, and we're reading from the NIV version.
Thanks. So yeah, I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to chapter 4, verse 7. Children of God, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to the guardians and trustees until time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Thank you, Abby. Now, you'd be pleased to know my wife is coming up to speak shortly, so it's not just me tonight. But when we read through this passage and reflected on it, Two things really jumped out at me. And one is at the end of verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And then later on, In chapter 4, verse 6, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made us also an heir. So I just wanted to reflect for a couple of minutes on what does it mean to be a child? And then from that, hopefully you make the thing, well, this is what a child's like. What's a child of God like? So we're going to do a Slido presentation now, or poll. So it's a little bit like getting a flip chart and writing down your thoughts on it, but we're going to do it technically. So hopefully Mark's going to slide something across onto there. And for mobile phones, you can use them tonight in the service, for this part at least. Okay. So look at it, either use a QR code or go to slido.com and put in that number. And it'd be just great. There's going to be a question. I don't know. Is that the right slide, actually, Mark? Did you press start on the run the presentation thing first? It's new to me, and it's new to Mark as well, so do apologise. There might be some teething errors. Okay. What question did you have there, Mark? Okay. Well, yes. Give Mark a minute. He might need to press play first and then present. It should be a question which says, words to describe children or a child. Okay? So we'll just give him a minute. If not, we might go to the whiteboard. Technology is great when it works, but when you're old like me, it is working? Oh, I won't be able to see your responses, mind you, for some reason. Oh, it's up there now. Yes. Okay. So when you type in your thoughts on words to describe a child or children, they will start appearing up there. So we've got dependent, loud, kid, needy, innocent, immature, dependent, expensive, free living being, dependent again. So just give him a minute. Just put in some of your thoughts. Okay, we've got quite a few. Oh, some more still coming through. Annoying and vulnerable seem to be key ones. And this is why I wanted everyone to take part in it, because we can all interpret the word slightly different. When we think of children of God, or we think of children, these are the words we get. We might not get these words for children of God, but this is what we think. So if I'm a child, I might be a bit annoying at times. I certainly can be vulnerable, but when you think of being a child of God, we can also use these same words. We should be vulnerable with God. We can be vulnerable with each other. We can, just seem to be growing that word. We can be annoying. So, but as we'll see on our next slide in a second, we'll just see if there's any more words coming through. But there are some lovely words there, childlike, curious, happy, strong-willed, dependent, messy. And I think sometimes my own Christian walk, when I think of it, I see myself as a child of God. But that doesn't mean I've got everything right and I know exactly what I'm doing. I know I can be a little bit annoying at times. I know I can be needy. I know my life can be quite messy. But at the same time, I can also think about who God is. So the next question is, it was saying in the end of verse 7 about Abba, Father. We can see God as our Father. So what are the characteristics of a dad? So hopefully you've got that as the next question coming through in a second. It does take a little bit of time. I feel for poor Mark at the back. He's there thinking, oh. So, protective, loving, caring, gentle, patient, forgiving, dependable. Now, I realize that not everyone's had a good father figure in their lives. I realize we've all had different experiences, but when we come to look as God as our father, we should be looking at him as a good father and a good father figure. So, it is lovely to see that there's positive words coming through there. And once again, these characteristics we see as a father, this is when we call God Abba Father. We can see that God is like a dad. And these are some of the characteristics we should see in God and in our relationship. We might be messy, we might be loud, we might be annoying, but actually, thankfully, we come to a father who's loving, protective, caring, trustworthy, dependable. Still four more people typing by the looks of it. And we'll see. Yeah, wise, kind. Okay, I've just got one final little question. And these questions really were just to start you thinking about this text as reading. Rachel's going to come and share some more thoughts. But one final question I've got, and this is probably, we think of ourselves as the children of God, so we are a family. But actually, in your own families, in your own experience of family life, what sort of values or what sort of culture do you see in your family? So that is a third question. It'd be interesting to see some of these responses. I was very clever when I'm not really clever, but when I made this presentation, I was able to put photos in, and I do feel the photos can skew your thoughts in one way. So we had a nice little child to start with, holding hands, and we had a lovely dad throwing up a child catching. We've got a nice little family here, all close together. But I was looking for the positive things. Now, interesting to say, family is loving, fun, honest, chaotic, annoying, honest. And just my own view on Christian family life, we can be annoying to one another from time to time. What I loved hearing about Pastor Dave this morning was how he'd come here to Plymouth and how he'd been very peacemaking. And it's so important. As Christians, as children, we have siblings, and sometimes we get on well with our siblings in our normal lives, and sometimes we don't. And that can be the same in the Christian world. And it is heartbreaking, and it must be heartbreaking for, I know as a father, when my children are fighting, how distressing it is. But you can also understand how it happens. So there we are. I do like that we've got supportive, caring, and loving, and fun. Being the big ones coming through there. So hopefully that's given you some thoughts about children of God, seeing God as a father, seeing us as a Christian family. But I'm going to get Rachel to come up and she's going to share some more thoughts she pulled out from the text. You can use this mic.
Good evening. Thanks, Hamish. So we are God's children by being born of the Spirit. And Jeff, a couple of weeks ago, in the passage in John, was talking about spiritual birth. And when this physical birth, he said that the baby doesn't make any effort whatsoever. And so it is with spiritual birth. Even though in a physical birth, the mother is doing the hard work, in a spiritual birth, it is God that has done the hard work for us. We cannot be born of the Spirit by our own effort. And this is what Galatians is all about. So we can't earn spiritual birth. We don't need to make an effort for it. But God made a way for us to be born spiritually by sending Jesus to take every punishment on him so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. And this almost seems too good to be true, and we've been adopted into God's family, and I wonder if we really live in the light of this truth, because we can, just like the Galatians, fall so easily into thinking that we need to add to this gospel truth, and we simply don't. God has done everything in redeeming us, into bringing us into his family, and we don't need to add to it. The truth is we've been adopted into God's family, not by our effort, but by God's choosing. So I'm just going to read you part of the passage that Abby read so well for us. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, a Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are God's child, God has made you also an heir. So when I talk about son tonight, I don't just mean boys, sons. I mean daughters as well, but it's a bit of a mouthful to say. So I'll probably just say sons, but I mean sons and daughters as well. So firstly, I'm just going to talk about two things tonight, because we want to experience some moments where we can encounter God and have some ministry time as well. So just two things. So firstly, we are adopted. The saddest thing I ever heard from a foster carer who, I'm very pleased, isn't a foster carer anymore. They said, I would never adopt because I don't want my money to go to them. Much as that isn't the spirit of adoption, he perfectly understood what adoption meant. It meant that everything that was his would go to the adopted child, just as if it was a birth child. There was no difference. Everything, it was a legally binding thing. You've got a new name, you've got a new identity, and everything that that person had would have been given to that child. And this is what this spirit of adoption is. Grace is often described as God's riches at Christ's expense. So a child does not decide to be adopted. Somebody takes the initiative to be their parents. They're sought out, they're chosen, they're given a new identity and a new name. Adoption is received, and spiritual adoption, being a child of God, is received. And identity is massive, isn't it? How we see ourselves. And working with teenagers, clothing is a big part of identity, and I'm amazed to see that Croc shoes are back. Everyone has a pair of Crocs and socks. They wear their Crocs with their socks. But if we think about history, you know, the 70s, the beehive hair, the miniskirts, or whether it was punk rockers with a spiky hair, it identifies us. Clothing can identify us with a certain people group or a certain time. And we were looking at photographs with my mum and dad not too long ago, and it's like, oh, that was the 80s, and we all had perms. All of us had perms, curly hair, in the 80s. So what we can wear can show our identity. And verse 27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. We now wear new clothes as part of our identity. So when we baptize people here, it's an outward sign of what's already happened. It identifies us as people who have put our faith in Jesus. We've put off the old clothes, the old life, and we've been given these new clothes, robes of righteousness that have been given to us by Jesus. We have a new identity. We are spiritually born. We are God's children. And now we are heirs of everything that God has, the kingdom of heaven, but not just heaven to come. We are heirs of everything that he has for us now. We can live a full life of freedom in Jesus, of love and of peace and of joy, and a life without any condemnation, because we can know forgiveness. And we are brought from slavery into a life of communion and relationship with God, our Father. I remember when I first put my faith in Jesus and asked him to come into my life, I suppose my own testimony. I was only young, I was 7. And I remember my dad was preaching, and I had a very strong sense of, I don't know God for myself. I don't have a relationship with him for myself. And I remember talking to my mum about it, and I remember her saying, well, you can know that assurance of belonging to God. And I remember committing my life to Jesus from that moment. And even though it was a very simple way of just accepting Jesus into my life and saying, I want to live for you, I want to know God for myself, at that moment I had a real assurance that God was my Father. There was peace that came into my life. I didn't understand it all. I didn't know all the theology or anything like that. because I was only a child, but I knew I was a child of God. And we can all have that assurance. There's two songs, the kind of hymns, or modern hymns, that always move me whenever I sing them. One is Before the Throne of God Above, and it's just two lines. I just love it. It says, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me." And this is the line, "My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart." And there's another hymn, "In Christ Alone." We sing it a fair amount. "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny." And it's this bit I love. "No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand." We can have this assurance of being adopted into God's family. So, the next thing I want to just briefly talk about is that our perception of a relationship determines what you expect from that relationship. When the disciples asked Jesus, they said to him, "Will you teach us to pray?" They obviously saw Jesus praying all the time and saw the wonderful things that came out of that close relationship with God. And what was it he told them to pray? What was the first line of the Lord's Prayer? It was, "Our Father." He wants us to approach him as Father. Now, when I first met Hamish's father, I had been warned about him. Hamish was always really, really friendly and dead chilled out. You know what Hamish is like, talks to anybody. Very approachable. But I was warned about his father. I'd been warned he was very stern and a very scary man. And he had his own chair, and if I dared to sit in it, I would get shouted at. So I remember the first time that I met Hamish's family, I was really worried about meeting his dad. He was a big guy. Now, actually, Ian, Hamish's father, was a wonderful, kind, generous man, but he had a very stern exterior. And actually, I had a good relationship with him in time, but at first our relationship was guarded because of fear. I was a little bit afraid of him. Now, my own father was really approachable and also very fun, helpful, very kind and encouraged. Now, I'm only saying these nice things because it's his birthday and he's retiring. So, but it's true, actually. He was a good father. And he also told us off sometimes to make sure we weren't going the wrong direction. But I always knew he had our backs, all of the children. And he would always be there if we needed him. And he even lent me his pride and joy, his Volvo, straight after I passed my test, which was really brave. I did back it into a lamppost once, and I don't think I told you. I bent the lamppost, but the Volvo was fine. So my dad has always been there to change a tyre, to babysit, to lend us money. You know, we've all asked our parents for money, haven't we? And I still do sometimes. But he's very dependable. And now as a parent myself, and so I'm going to talk about our three children. I'm sorry, I've asked their permission. Our children have some habits, kind of perpetual habits, each of them. So first of all, our firstborn, Seth, I don't know whether he's... Oh, he is here. Okay. Seth loves coming into our room generally about half an hour after we've gone to bed. All right? He just knocks on the door and then presumes he can come in. He sits in the chair in the corner and he talks about his day. He talks about his worries. He talks about progress on the house. Talks about all sorts of things that are on his mind. And even though we go, "Seth, can't we talk about this in the morning?" He persuades us. Anyway, we end up staying up late, talking through Seth's budget sheets or whatever. But that's what he tends to do. Now, Darcy, our middle daughter, She's working at a school at the moment, and because there's no parking, even though she's got her own car provided by her father, she said, "Dad, can you take me to work? Can you take me to work every morning?" And he takes her to work every morning. She's got her own transport. But he's just kind like that. And she just asks him, "Oh, can you do that?" Recently, she asked us, "Can you help me with my CV because I've got to go for this job?" And it was the one night we'd planned to have in and have a nice evening. She said, Please can you help me? We were persuaded and we helped her write her CV. And Flora, lovely Flora over there, our adventurous daughter. We've had a few phone calls, but one I remember, she calls us, she says, Dad, I've missed my flight. I need to get a connecting flight in the next half an hour, else I'll miss my connection. I've got no money, can you do it? Can you just get me a flight? So Hamish, the wonderful father he is, cool as a cucumber, gets on the thing, sorts her out, she gets a plane. And even this week when I was preparing this, Katie, because she's now part of the fam, daughter-in-law, she came in the office and she was thrilled. She said, "Look what my dad's got me." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Sandpaper. My dad's got me some sandpaper." She needed some sandpaper and her dad remembered and brought it in for her. So if my children did that to any of you guys, I'd be a bit worried. And if we're all honest, we know that they're not going to do it. They won't ask those things of you because they wouldn't expect to receive it from you. But because they know their father very well and they know that he loves them, they ask us all sorts. You see, our kids can call at any time of day or night. If they're in trouble, they know where we will respond. They can ask us bold things, costly things, and time-consuming things, simply because they are our children, and they know that they're dearly loved by us. And even the times that we kind of want to say no, they've got a way of persuading us and persisting. And because we love them, our hearts are generally moved into action because they are our children and we love them. So it is with God. If we knew how much we are loved by God, when we're his child, we can go to him as our father boldly and ask him anything. We can be honest. We can go to him with confidence and not fear, because we are sons and daughters and not slaves. Hebrews 4:16, it's a beautiful verse. It says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace." It's not a scary throne, it's a throne of grace, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God's heart as a father is moved towards you and me, because he loves you. That's the bottom line. And we're going to finish really just with a story that you'll all know really well. It's the story of a father, of a child, and a father and a son in Luke 15, the prodigal son. And this illustrates our position before God as children and shows us the heart of the father towards every single one of us today. This young son wanted, you know the story, he wanted his inheritance now. It was a shameful thing to ask, but his father was persuaded to give him his inheritance. And the Bible tells us he went off, he squandered his wealth with wild living. He had friends, you know, he was everybody's mate while he had the money. And the money soon ran out, he squandered his wealth. He was a rebellious boy, he brought shame on his family, but he ended up going down and down and down until he ended up in a pig pen, longing to eat the food from the pigs. He couldn't get any lower and he couldn't get any farther from his father. Now, this young man was always a son, but when he came to his senses and thought of home, he realized that even his dad's workers on the farm, his slaves were having a better time than him. And he decided, he had a bright idea. He said, "I'm going to go back to Dad, but I'm going to come back and work for him. I'm going to ask him if I can work for him as a hired person, as a slave, because he didn't think he was worthy anymore of being a son. He was so ashamed. And so he reverted to making himself acceptable to his father, to work for his keep. He was a son, but he had the mindset of a slave. But we know the beautiful ending of this story, that the heartbroken dad, looking for his son every day, is he going to come home? And then the Bible says, when he was a long way off, his father ran to him. His father didn't sit him down and say, we better have a chat before we resume this relationship. No, the father ran to the boy. He gave him new clothes. He put a ring on his finger, a cloak, shoes, and threw the biggest party because the son that had been lost was now found. This boy was not a slave, but he was a son. And he got to experience forgiveness, the mercy and love of his father. Our Father in heaven loves us way more than sometimes we can comprehend. He loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. 1 John 3:13 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Let me just read that again. I love the word lavished. It's great, isn't it? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Tonight, if you know Jesus, you are a child of God with all the inheritance of heaven. You are not slaves anymore, but sons and daughters of God. And just like Seth with his house that Hamish talked about, sometimes we think we know these things, but until we put it into practice, until we experience it for ourselves, it can be a tricky thing to really understand. But so we're gonna come to a time of ministry now, and I'm going to say, don't be shy about asking God for a touch of heaven tonight. We're going to respond in two ways. Firstly, are you still a slave to the law, trying to get to God, trying to make it on your own, and you're not sure yet whether you're a child of God? You don't have that assurance. You can receive that tonight. You can ask him to come into your life. If that is something you want to do and start a journey with Jesus tonight, respond, come forward and pray with someone. They can lead you to pray and to accept Jesus. And you can receive that adoption into God's family tonight. Or are you a Christian? Someone who keeps slipping back into trying to earn God's love. The Galatians did it. We do it more often than we think. And you've got a bit of a wrong perception of the Father, and that's affected your relationship with him. So tonight, if you've been living more like the slave rather than living and enjoying the privileges of being a son or daughter of God, and you need a fresh encounter with the love of God, let's just be open to that tonight. So I'm going to ask the band just to come up, and also the prayer team just to be around the sides and the front. And I'll say, don't hesitate. If you want to experience the love of the Father tonight, or if you've got a need that you just want someone to stand alongside you, or if you just want to have that assurance that you're a child of God tonight, come. This is a really safe place, and it's going to be great just to encounter God together. So we are going to just hand over to worship, and don't wait for someone else to come out. Let's ask God to minister to us.